Okay, so get this. We're diving into the mind of this guy, David Noel Lynch,
Bye.
who right off the bat calls himself an Imagineer.
Bye.
Already kind of makes you wonder, right? And it gets wilder.
Yeah.
This guy claims he's got a theory that challenges Newton himself,
Oh, wow.
ties into Nostradamus's predictions, and basically rewrites everything we think we know about how the universe works.
Okay, so we're talking about someone who's not afraid to think big.
Exactly. And thankfully for us,
Wow.
he's put these big ideas into writing.
Okay.
We've got these letters. Lynch wrote ones to Penn and Teller,
The magicians.
the one and only.
Wow.
And another one, it's kind of unclear, seems to be addressed to them, A&D James Randi.
Oh, wow. Going straight for the skeptical community, I see.
It's like he's aiming for the biggest possible audience with this
A
stuff.
bold move.
So we're clearly dealing with someone who isn't afraid of big names or our big ideas.
That's for sure.
But the question is, are we looking at misunderstood genius here,
Like,
or
or is there something else going on? That's the big question, isn't it?
it really is?
Because to even begin unpacking that,
Right.
we got to understand what Lynch is actually saying.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make it easy, Langutai.
What do you mean?
Well, he's blending actual scientific terms
Okay.
with this whole philosophical lens he keeps talking about.
It's like he's speaking two languages at once almost.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tough nut to crack.
Okay, so let's start basic then with this whole Imagineer thing.
Right.
Most people, they hear that, they think Disney,
Theme
right?
parks, fantasy, the whole nine yards.
Right, designing these fantastical worlds.
Yeah, but all within the realm of, well, fantasy.
Yes, exactly. But Lynch.
He's on a whole other level, it seems.
How so?
He seems to be using Imagineer to describe someone who creates a whole new reality, a
Okay.
whole new way of understanding how the universe actually works.
So not just building theme parks,
No.
but building a whole new cosmological framework.
That's the idea, at least.
Yeah.
Ambitious, to say the least.
That's an understatement.
And at the heart of this framework of his
Yeah.
is something he calls the Noel equation.
You gotta admire the confidence to name a universal theory after yourself.
Right. Like, who does that?
It takes guts, that's for sure.
But to even try to grasp this Noel equation,
Yeah.
we need to dive into Lynch's view of time,
Okay.
because he thinks Einstein's idea of time as a single dimension,
Right.
way too simplistic. He's actually, the time is actually three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional, like a shape he calls the trapezoid of time.
All right, now you're gonna have to explain this one because I'm lost.
Okay, so imagine a trapezoid, right?
Okay, got it.
Each side of this trapezoid
Yeah.
represents a different aspect of time as he sees it.
Right.
He says the past, that's made of particles,
Particles.
solid, defined, like one solid side of the trapezoid.
Okay.
The future, though,
Yeah.
that's made of waves.
So it's like constantly changing.
Constantly changing, fluid, forming another side of this time trapezoid.
And where does the present fit into all this?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The past and the future, the particles and the waves, they meet in the present.
Okay.
That's what creates what we perceive as reality here and now.
So he's saying all three exist at the same time, but are fundamentally different.
It's like he's taken that particle wave duality.
From quantum mechanics, right?
Exactly. Where something can be both a particle and a wave.
Yeah.
He's applied that to the very fabric of time itself.
Whoa. Okay.
Past is fixed, future's in flux, and they're in this constant cosmic dance to make the present.
That's one way to put it.
And get this, Lynch uses this model to explain everything.
Everything. Like what?
How we experience reality, origins of the
No
universe.
kidding.
He even tries to connect it to things like the cosmic background radiation.
The afterglow of the Big Bang.
The one and only.
So he's pulling from real science, but adding his own twist to it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes it so tricky.
Because it's not purely scientific or purely
Right.
philosophical.
It's this blend of the two, all filtered through what he calls his philosopher's lens.
So it's like he's looking at established physics, but with a very specific filter on.
Exactly. It's
Yikes.
less about hard data, more about personal interpretation of the universe.
And this is where his Coke Zero challenge comes in, right?
Yeah, yes, the Coke Zero
And this
tally.
is where it gets a little, well, interesting to say the
To
least.
say the least.
So he thinks shaking a can of Coke Zero disproves Newton's third law.
Well, not disproves exactly.
Uh-huh.
Remember, he's challenging the completeness of physics as we know it,
Okay.
not necessarily saying it's completely wrong.
But that there's more to it than we currently understand.
Exactly. He's saying there are bigger forces at play that Newton didn't fully account for.
Like, what kind of forces? Give me an example.
He talks about the Earth's rotation, its orbit around the sun.
Okay.
The sun's movement through the galaxy, even.
Right.
He's basically saying that because of these larger movements,
okay,
something like a can of Coke Zero just sitting there seems stationary.
Yeah.
But it's not truly stationary at all.
Because it's moving along with all those other things.
Exactly. It's being acted upon by all these larger forces, most of which we don't even see.
So he's not saying Newton was wrong.
Not necessarily, no.
Just that there's more to the story.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, there's this whole cosmic dance floor out there.
I like that.
And Newton only told us about one type of step.
And Lynch believes his Noël equation.
With the time trapezoid and all that.
The whole shebang.
Yeah.
That it could account for all these complex movements in a way traditional physics can't.
Okay, so we've got this theory challenging how we think about time, the universe, even a can of Coke.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is.
But it doesn't stop there.
Of course not. There's more.
Lynch takes it a step further and brings in Nostradamus.
Wait, that Nostradamus?
The one and only.
Okay, now this is getting interesting.
Right. It adds a whole other layer to this.
So is he serious about this connection or is it like metaphorical?
He seems to genuinely believe it.
No kidding.
He even points to a specific quatrain. Century 8, Quatrain 38.
Which says...
It mentions the word Noël.
Noël.
Lynch sees that as a hidden reference to his own name and his theory.
Whoa. So he sees himself as not just some guy with a theory.
Nope.
But as a figure predicted by Nostradamus.
It's a bold claim to be sure.
That's an understatement.
But it speaks to how deeply he believes in all of this.
That he's onto something truly groundbreaking.
Even if the rest of the world hasn't quite caught on yet.
This feeling of being misunderstood, of having the secret knowledge.
It's a recurring theme with Lynch.
Especially when we get to his interactions with James Randi and that whole million-dollar challenge.
Oh, yeah. Things are about to get interesting.
But before we go down that rabbit hole,
Good point.
Let's take a second to appreciate what Lynch is putting forward here.
It's a loppy.
He's not just tweaking existing knowledge. He's claiming to reimagine the fabric of reality itself.
With Nostradamus as his hype man.
It's mind-boggling. Whether he's right or wrong, you gotta admire that kind of ambition.
Absolutely.
Where does this conviction come from? And what happens when he tries to share it with the world?
Well, that's a story for another time.
Or rather, another part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned, folks, because it's about to get wild.
All right, so we left off with David Noel Lynch, our resident Imagineer.
Right, convinced he's figured it all out.
Not just figured it out, but like found hints of it in Nostradamus.
Ambitious, to say the least.
To say the least. But how does this all go down when he interacts with people who, well, kind of make a living out of debunking this kind of stuff?
And that's where the James Randi Educational Foundation comes in.
J-R-E-F, right.
The one and only.
Famous for that million-dollar challenge.
Offering a big old pile of cash to anyone who could prove, under scientific conditions, they had some kind of paranormal ability.
The ultimate test, basically.
You could say that again.
And Lynch, being Lynch, saw this as his golden ticket.
Figured he'd show them all, walk away $1 million richer.
In his letters, he talks about heading to Vegas.
Even gives a specific date, 2007.7.7.
It's like a numerical code or something.
Right. Almost adds to the mystique.
So, was he serious? Did he really think he could convince a room full of skeptics with, what was it, a can of Coke?
It's hard to say for sure, but it's fascinating to think about.
Like what was going through his head?
Maybe he saw it as symbolic, you know, a challenge to the very core of their skepticism.
Instead of just scientific data, he's presenting this whole personal philosophy.
Which is tough to argue with, you know. Not in the traditional sense, anyway.
But as we know, the meeting with Randi never actually happened.
Yep. Instead, we get the story about the artwork left at the Wynn Casino.
Along with those two dimes. What was that about?
Almost like he thought the art itself would, I don't know, transmit the theory or something.
Speak for itself.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't the only time he uses art as a way to communicate.
What do you mean?
He mentions hand-delivering these letters and gifts to musicians.
Musicians? Like who?
Mark Tremonti, Miles Kennedy, those guys from the band Alter Bridge.
Interesting.
It's like he's drawn to other creative types.
People who push boundaries, think outside the box.
And he sees his own work as resonating with that.
Instead of a scientific paper, he's putting his theories on display at art galleries, rock concerts, casinos even.
Unconventional, to say the least.
That's Lynch for you. But this unconventional approach goes even deeper.
How so?
It's in the way he sees himself, his work.
Okay, how's that?
He compares himself to, get this, the birth of a Christ through an immaculate conception.
Whoa.
He even talks about his own experience with death as a source of these insights.
All right, now we're getting into some pretty heavy stuff.
This isn't just physics and Nostradamus anymore. This is about something bigger.
Definitely a more personal, almost spiritual dimension to it.
Whether you take it literally or not,
right,
it shows you just how deeply he believes in all of this.
This isn't just an intellectual exercise for him. It's something deeply ingrained.
And that unshakable belief, that conviction.
That's what makes David Noel Lynch so fascinating, so compelling.
So here we are after diving deep into David Noel Lynch's world.
So the Noel equation, Nostradamus, even trying to win over the skeptic.
With a can of Coke, no less. But now what? What are we supposed to make of all this?
It's easy to just say, well, this guy's way off base, especially with some of those wilder claims.
Yeah, like, really out there?
But I think that misses something crucial.
What's that?
The creativity of it all. Even if his conclusions miss the mark. The questions he's asking, those are big ones.
About time, reality, what we can even hope to understand.
Exactly. Those questions have been around forever.
It's like he looked at all the biggest mysteries and said, I'm going to take a crack at this.
And you got to respect that, right?
Absolutely. But what I find interesting is how this ties into something we all feel that need to make sense of the world.
Especially when it feels so complicated, right?
Exactly. Some people find that meaning in science. Hard data.
Makes sense.
But for others, like Lynch, it seems to be about personal interpretation, almost like a revelation.
And he's desperate to share that.
It's like that image he uses, the artist in Mecca secretly painting Muhammad.
Ritzy move.
It speaks to that feeling of knowing something others don't, of being misunderstood.
Even persecuted for it.
And that feeling seems to push Lynch even further.
You see it in who he reaches out to, right? Penn and Teller, masters of illusion.
Musicians, artists, people who bend the rules a bit.
He even finds validation in Nostradamus.
A figure who's been debated for centuries.
It's like he's looking for his people. You know, the ones who get it.
The ones who understand what it means to challenge the norm.
Exactly.
So what is he then? A misunderstood genius? A passionate eccentric? Or just plain wrong?
Honestly, I'm not sure it matters.
How so?
Because whether he meant to or not, Lynch makes us look at the boundaries of our own thinking.
We have to ask ourselves, what if there is more to the universe than we realize?
What if the way we see reality is just one way of seeing it?
And that's a powerful thought to leave on, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's a reminder that sometimes questioning the answers is more important than finding the right one.
So to everyone listening, the next time you encounter something that just doesn't fit, something that challenges what you thought you knew.
Don't dismiss it out of hand.
Lean into that feeling, that what if. You might be surprised by what you find.
You never know.
And that wraps up our deep dive into the fascinating, frustrating, and always thought-provoking world of David Noel Lynch.